I'm Charlie Rose.
I'm Nora O'Donnell.
And I'm Gail King. Hey, this is a CBS This Morning podcast.
Hello and welcome to the CBS This Morning podcast. I'm CBS News contributor Jamie Wax, coming to you from Variety's Midtown Manhattan offices and being joined by Variety's TV critic Sonia Saraya. We are talking about the 69th annual Emmy Awards that are airing on CBS this Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Sonia, great to be with you today.
Thank you so much.
What a time in the universe to be a television critic.
It's true. More TV than ever. It's a smorgasbord.
Do you believe that television is attracting the biggest talent right now in the world?
You know, I honestly think there's always something special about film, you know, in terms of it reaches an international audience and stuff in a different way. But certainly in America, we have seen a lot of very talented actors who might have in the past gone into film careers instead finding a home on TV, partly because the, you know, studios are really willing to pay them the salaries that they're used to. And also TV's just, there's a higher quality in terms of production design and what audiences expect too. So, I mean, the fact that like Kevin Spacey, Viola Davis, you know, these are, we're going to talk about some of these people too, but like Jessica Lange, Susan Sarandon, Nicole Kidman, these are Oscar winners and they are on television, you know, on your hour long, multiple night show. So that's something.
And that's just the on-screen talent. I mean, we've got people like Scorsese who jumped in the pool this year.
Yeah.
Soderbergh, all kinds of incredible directors.
Jane Campion this year.
Yes.
It's fascinating. Absolutely.
Anybody you've been really surprised by when you know, we've seen this trend happening for the last several years. Anybody you've just been shocked by that you never thought would come? Any old school people?
Oh, I mean, the fact that Woody Allen did a show for Amazon is crazy. I mean, and there's been like interesting reporting done about them, about like how much he was paid and stuff, you know,
huge paycheck.
It was a huge paycheck for apparently. But you know, it's, actually in Crisis in Six Scenes. And if you saw it, there's actually a whole thread about how the main character is trying to become a TV writer because he doesn't know what else to do with himself. And it's this interesting kind of commentary, like Woody Allen's a filmmaker, like that's, you know, so it's kind of funny. And it wasn't like a great show, to be honest with you, but like it's just very interesting that he took that opportunity and went to the small screen for sure.
So before we get into the nominees, let's talk about, I mean, I don't like, and you have mentioned before that you're not crazy about the word snub. That would mean that a whole like conspiracy was formed against a show. But who do you think was left out? Let's talk about let's start with shows.
Yeah. What,
are there some shows that didn't get the love they deserved?
Oh my God, you've gotten me on my soapbox. So The Leftovers on HBO was not nominated for Best Drama, and it just feels like a tragedy.
You are not alone in that thought.
I'm overstating tragedy, of course. But yeah, it was such a risky and daring show, and it came out of the minds of such interesting people. Damon Lindelof, who was behind Lost, and Justin Theroux and Carrie Coon were the leads there. Amazing. Yes, absolutely.
What a performance.
Fantastic performances from both of them, but definitely from Carrie. And you know, it was neat. I mean, this is the thing. It was a little niche, and the Emmys are, it's the whole industry commenting on itself, and that makes for, it's very interesting. It's like looking at, you know, they're looking at the in a mirror kind of and picking out what they like best about themselves. And The Leftovers wasn't part of it, which is hard. It was just sad for me. Another great show, also from HBO, Insecure, on the comedy side. Just a fantastic comedy. I mean, so immersive. People who in my life who don't really necessarily watch a ton of TV are like obsessed with Insecure.
Yeah.
And so it feels like another, to me, it's like, oh, like a missed opportunity. But I'm also, it's just great that these people are getting work too. And maybe they'll be back, you know, so that's good.
Do you think Insecure is one of those shows that may be around for a little while and get the recognition eventually it deserves?
Ooh, yeah. I mean, yes, because it has a really strong base, I think, and it's kind of found a niche. You know, I think that The Leftovers was trying to be like a big show, I think, for HBO, and they never quite found that, you know, they never found that traction in the way that Westworld, for example, which got a lot of nominations, mm-hmm. did find that. Insecure, it's a half hour show. It's like a little bit more for like a specific audience. You know, it's very specifically about African-American women in Los Angeles. So there's, you know, you have to be kind of interested in that. And it's great. It's, I think that absolutely there's you can see that they could totally be keep doing this for several seasons, and hopefully down the line they'll get some get some recognition for that. So that's the other thing too about TV is, you know, you can come around next year and hopefully get a little bit more credit, get a little bit more love for the people you think deserve credit. So.
There do seem to be, even going way back to when we were just looking at broadcast mm-hmm. primarily for Emmy nominations, but when you look back, there are a lot of shows that take 3 to 4 years for the industry to finally embrace them and to finally begin to get the awards and the nominations that you would think they deserve.
Yeah.
What do you think that learning curve is about for the industry? If this is really their reflection of themselves, do you have to become an inevitability before they recognize you if you're really new?
That's it. I mean, it's an interesting question. It's an interesting question. I mean, at least part of it is that there are so many shows that even people within the industry have trouble keeping up. Let's just take Better Things as an example, which is it's just starting its second season right now on FX, and its first season is nominated for a couple of things in the Emmys.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see how people might not have seen the first season, but are hearing the buzz about the second. And even if they love other shows by FX, it's hard to find the time. I mean, there are more than 450 scripted shows on television right now. So it's just very hard to find the time, you know,
absolutely,
to devote 5 hours, 10 hours, whatever it is. But then, you know, if you hear enough good things about it, you might watch it. And then, you know, maybe it's season 3 by that point, but you appreciate it. And that's great. That's all that matters. You know what I mean? I think the same thing is true. Like we can actually track, like, now this isn't always true on the Emmy side of it because the industry is a little different. But for example, like fan appreciation and viewer appreciation, we definitely see that ramp up.
Mm-hmm.
Mad Men and Breaking Bad are both two shows that because they were available on Netflix, they got more and more viewers. And by the time the finales rolled around, they were like these big, buzzy shows and everyone was showing up to the finale.
Hmm.
Actually, Game of Thrones is a great example because Game of Thrones just got their first Best Drama Award in the last Emmy cycle, and they're not eligible this year because they aired a little bit too late. But like, it wasn't exactly like that show was doing like exactly different things, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that like enough people started watching it, and there's like, you know, there's a familiarity too that you grow with like that world, and you start to be impressed by the different things that they accomplish. So yeah, this can be a long tangent too, because one of the great things about television is that you spend a lot of time with your characters and with your show.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if something doesn't quite sit with you at first, maybe if you keep watching it, you suddenly gain a new appreciation for where everything is because you spent a couple of years there and you're understanding the inner workings of it. Like The Good Wife, for example, that's like something where like season 2 was great. Season 3 and 4, people didn't really hear about it. But then all of a sudden, season 5, everyone was talking about how great it was because people had been watching it that whole time. So it's interesting.
You're absolutely right. It's a long-term relationship. I mean, I think about when I watched the first season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, for example, you know, how we would all say, gosh, the Larry David character is so awful. And now you sort of defend him. You're like, oh, he's not so bad. He means well. Because you've been with the guy for a long time.
Right. And you can point to all the things he did where he wasn't the worst guy.
Right.
I mean, like, you know, the producer's season of Curb is like the best argument for Larry David not being such a bad guy. You know, I think. But it's interesting because that's another show that's coming back. And anyway, yeah.
Now, you tapped into something I want to ask you about as well, as far as awards and industry recognition. Better Things has a super powerful executive producer in Louis C.K.
Mm-hmm.
You notice a lot of these people with big followings who are very successful now lending their names to other talent, to smaller productions. Amy Poehler has been a big champion of women in comedy and new series. How important is that as far as garnering industry cred and these kind of awards to have someone known at the top of a project that may feature new talent?
Oh, it can't hurt, right? I mean, because that's another thing about cutting through the noise. There are so many productions out there that absolutely, if a show has Louis C.K. attached to it, Amy Poehler attached to it, you might just spend a second longer looking at the trailer or looking at the poster and being like, oh, like, okay, maybe I should think about that. Also, I think that some of these executive producers, they have a style of comedy or a style of storytelling that is a little bit of a brand in and of itself. And so, you know, so like Amy Poehler, I believe executive produced Difficult People on Hulu. And if you don't know who Julie Klausner or Billy Eichner are, you might know, oh, but I think Amy Poehler's really funny. Mm-hmm. And then you can, you know, you might know what to expect if you show up to that.
It's like the creepy way that that Spotify knows what you might like when yes. when you listen to one thing.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's get to these nominations. That's fascinating insider talk. And I appreciate hearing all of those insights from you. This year, the biggest news, I think, is the same thing as last year, which is that streaming is here.
Yeah.
And it's undeniable. Of the 7 nominated drama series, we have 4 that are on streaming platforms. 3 of them are Netflix series. That's pretty remarkable in itself, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, considering that House of Cards was Netflix's first show and that debuted in 2013, mm-hmm. Netflix's influence in the space like cannot really be understated. It's so many shows, and a lot of them are very critically acclaimed. A lot of them aren't, too. Not like that's part of it is a volume thing, too.
Right.
They are putting more money into scripted originals than anyone else. It's in the billions, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy. Like it pays off in some ways, as we can see. Mm-hmm. Some of it's right here.
Well, and I mean I have interviewed the Duffer brothers of yeah. Stranger Things. I've interviewed John Mulaney multiple times, and when I ask them, how is your show done on Netflix, they say, I have no idea. they don't even tell the creators of the shows
yeah.
how the ratings are.
No, yeah. They're very, you know, it's part of their business model is that ratings or as we would say, views probably on streaming is not relevant to them. But it does make the conversation around them really interesting, too, because we can't compare them to other shows. And we're in uncharted territory is basically the point.
So let me run through these nominees really quickly, because this is probably the most contested and hottest category. Better Call Saul on AMC, The Crown for Netflix, The Handmaid's Tale for Hulu, House of Cards for Netflix, Stranger Things for Netflix, Westworld for HBO, and the real revolutionary show here, because it is the first broadcast drama nominated in this category since CBS's The Good Wife
yep.
in 2011, This Is Us for NBC.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite here?
I do, yes, yeah. And I think it's also probably the most likely to win, which is The Handmaid's Tale from yeah. Hulu. Yeah.
What an incredible moment in history for that series to air.
It seems weird to say that they lucked out, but I do think that you know, I think that the timing of I think that the election brought out so much conversation about misogyny
mm-hmm.
that even though The Handmaid's Tale is such a dystopia and very extreme in a lot of ways, just because it pulls on some of these real fears, it really found a moment and found a zeitgeist. But then more than that, I mean, it's a brilliant novel. It's a brilliant adaptation. It's really beautifully done. And it's interesting. I mean, comparing it to some of the other offerings too, it feels like The Handmaid's Tale is like more multifaceted almost. I think that, you know, one of the things that's interesting about House of Cards, for example, which is a multiple time nominee, it just finished its season 5, I believe. It kind of does the same thing, you mm-hmm. know, like, and if you like that thing, that's fine. And Kevin Spacey, Robin Wright, very reliable performances, but that it does what it does. And I think that it's actually kind of nice as a viewer to be surprised by something. And I think that The Handmaid's Tale was surprising. And yeah. I think that's nice, too.
All right. Let's talk about actress in a drama. Who's your prediction and how does that fit with what you like?
So my prediction's Elizabeth Moss. Again, I think that mm-hmm. it's hard to understate how much the Television Academy, like the Motion Picture Academy, Arts and Sciences, they're very aware of politics, and if they can, they can express their opinions through voting, they will. And it's both a blessing and a curse, I think, sometimes. But I have a feeling we saw Alexis Bledel won the guest Emmy at the Creative Arts Awards, which
right.
was this past weekend. I have a feeling that that is the beginning of a cascade for The Handmaid's Tale, which is great. So I think that Elizabeth Moss will win. I think she's great, for the record. My personal pick would be Claire Foy from The Crown.
What a great performance that is. I mean, if we're going to traditional television drama with some insights, The Crown may be a dark horse in both these categories.
It's a fantastic show. I mean, and that's the thing. It's traditional, and it's I think you have a point, right? Like, The Handmaid's Tale can capitalize on this moment in the way that The Crown, it's looking backwards. You know, it's got a different thing. But then on the other hand, they're both about women in very unconventional circumstances who are struggling to find a path. And just because Claire Foy's Queen Elizabeth is one of the most powerful women in the world, it makes it a little bit of a different theme. It's still just such a fantastic performance. And so, I mean, for a character that is very hard to see as like a human, like, you know, an individual, she just breathes so much life into it, and she's just a fantastic performer. So, just for the dark horse element of it, I'm stumping for Claire Foy, but yeah, of course, a lot of really talented actresses here.
And Elizabeth Moss just makes choices that are really brave and really incredible for
stunning
a young actress.
Her entire resume is just like everything, like all shows I've loved. Right, like it's great.
Right. I mean, now I would miss another Viola Davis speech, though, but
the best speeches. she does the best speeches in Hollywood. That's why you give her the award, really, for the speech.
So let's talk about actor in a drama. This is a really interesting group of actors. I mean, you could not have a different bunch of guys nominated in the same category.
Yeah.
Here. Who's your choice? Who do you think will win?
Oh, okay. I think Sterling K. Brown is going to win because I think that this is us as a broadcast, an unlikely broadcast hit. There is a lot of strong sentiment towards its ability to succeed. And I think Sterling K. Brown does a really good job as being, he's the adopted black son of a white family. And mm-hmm. I think that that's like such an interesting role for him in this show. He also won for The People versus O.J. Simpson last year in right. a limited supporting role in a limited series. My pick, though, is not him. And again, it's always like choosing between your children because I do really like him. But
right.
My pick would be Bob Odenkirk for Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Just because, so he has been nominated multiple times for this role. And I think that Better Call Saul isn't quite the crowd pleaser that Breaking Bad was. Like, it's a less violent, more psychological show. And so it's a little bit harder to sell, I think, to your friends and family to be mm-hmm. like, well, it's about everyone feeling really bad all the
yeah,
time.
And it's funny. You got to tell them. And at the end funny. Of the day, it's funnier than Breaking Bad. So.
It is. It's like, it's such a human show. Right. And Bob Odenkirk is a comedian. I mean, this is one of the things that's so great about it. He kind of came to the role in Breaking Bad where he plays Saul Goodman as a... It's sort of like an accidental lark, and he does put a lot of humor into that show. But then turning him into the protagonist of his own drama is just so moving. He's such mm-hmm. a great actor, so I would love it if he
yeah,
won.
Yeah, talk about a character, as we were talking about Larry David's character, in a totally different way. The way that they've allowed the character of Saul to grow
yes,
through this series is remarkable.
It's great.
Good. Two good choices, I think. Okay, let's talk supporting actor in a drama quickly and supporting actress in a drama. What do you think?
Supporting actor, John Lithgow for The Crown, who yeah. plays Winston Churchill. It's a fantastic role. I would say he's likely to win. He would also be my choice to win because he's just amazing.
Once I saw him with a cigar and a whiskey in the bathtub, I thought, this is probably an Emmy winner.
Oh, and that whole episode with the portrait.
Yes.
And it's great. He's great in that. And then for supporting actress, let me see. Oh, okay. So I was a little torn in this one. Mm. This is a really difficult category. So again, we have two nominees from The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
They could really split the Handmaid's Tale like cascade, as I was saying before. I actually, though, would give it to either Thandie Newton for Westworld, who is far and away, to my mind, far and away the best role in that show.
I agree.
She humanizes. Yeah.
She's another one that's under-recognized and has
absolutely.
A whole career of just great turns.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, that's a hard role that she has, and she does great work with it. And the other one, to go back to This Is Us, Chrissy Metz,
yeah.
Who is one of the daughters, and she is an obese woman, and it is just, I don't know, for Hollywood especially, that's such a difficult role, like, to not make it, I don't know, kind of like a Weight Watchers commercial or something, right. You know, but she, I mean, she just really owns it. And it's
a
great.
fully rounded, living, breathing human being. Exactly. There's nothing cloying about the performance, and there's nothing that objectifies her and makes her the source of pity or a source of a joke.
Exactly. Absolutely. And I mean, she's a great actress, you know, she's like really, she really shows you what she's feeling. So I would be happy with both of those.
I think those are both good. I think the dark horse there is Millie Bobby Brown.
Yes.
I think people want some Stranger Things recognition somewhere, and she's an easy place for them to put that.
I think that's a very good analysis, I would say.
All right, let's look at comedy series. I mean, good Lord, when you think about your work and let's look at this category 10 years ago mm-hmm. and look at it now, certainly comedy has been helped by streaming and cable, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's interesting though, because Modern Family and Blackish is a multiple nominee too, but it's a newer show. I mean, Modern Family, that's the type of show that used to get the award every single time. Mm-hmm. And it has gotten this award many, many times. You know, when you think about like Everybody Loves Raymond or like Seinfeld or things like that. Yeah, now there's like all of these like half hours that have this like different sort of indie film tone to them, like with Master of None and Atlanta, Silicon Valley and Veep are HBO comedies, and HBO has made comedies for a long time, but they both seem so much more vital and almost like socially commentary. I mean, Veep is actively politically commentary.
Right.
So yeah, it's interesting for sure.
It is. And Veep has won the last 2 years.
And it will win again in all likelihood.
A lot of affection for that show. I think it'll probably win again.
Yeah.
I do think, I mean, you've got interesting diversity here, not just represented by on screen, but behind the scenes of this particular category. We've got Atlanta and Master of None, which have non-white creators and showrunners.
Yeah.
That's very hopeful for the future. Also, extremely good shows and very talented guys, both of them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and Atlanta won the Golden Globe in this category, which is, the Golden Globe tends to like newcomers more than the Emmys do, but that is a strong indication of how much people were responding to that. We're responding to the novelty, and I think responding to the quality of something that was unlike what they'd seen before. And by the way, was my favorite show of last year. So I would be stumping for Atlanta in this category. But being realistic, I would go
Veep's
with
Veep. Especially since they just announced. There's some sentimentality about it leaving.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I hope politics behind the scenes is not the way it's portrayed in Veep.
And I think, unfortunately, like, that's the thing, right? Is I think, unfortunately, it probably, especially these days, it seems like maybe that exactly was
maybe
happening.
Maybe it is. All right, let's look at comedy actor. This is another great category with a lot of diversity within it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Okay, so this is actually one of the hardest decisions, I think, because in some ways, a lot of these, like, so for example, both Aziz Ansari and Donald Glover, they are, to my mind, their shows, they do a lot as writers and directors and showrunners. So thinking about them as performers, like, it's like secondary in my mind, and they both are doing interesting performances, but it's not the first thing I'm thinking of. Jeffrey Tambor in Transparent has been so good for so long.
Right.
Anthony Anderson on Blackish, I think it is sometimes difficult. It's easy to underestimate how hard it is to be a sitcom lead. And mm-hmm. I think too, because that's a very different type of show from something like Transparent, for example. And yet it requires like an interesting dedication that I think a lot of people in the industry will recognize. My guess, honestly, is that it's going to go to Aziz Ansari because people do want to honor Master of None in some way.
Mm-hmm.
My pick would be either for Anderson or, honestly, for Zach Galifianakis, who has been in a crazy, interesting role in this show no one is watching.
Yeah,
called Baskets.
Well, and that show got recognition last year for Louis Anderson.
Right, yes.
So you know they're watching it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, what a bizarre space that show lives in.
Yeah, I
can't stop watching it.
A classical clown now working as a rodeo clown for the
Clune.
For the one-line summary. Yeah,
that's right. All right. Comedy actress. What do you think about this category this year?
OK, this is another tough one. So, again, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is going to win. The Emmys love her. They have loved her doing everything that she does. Mm-hmm. And especially with, you know, in Veep, she is playing a Hillary-like character. Hillary just lost the election. Hillary's book just came out, and it's the final season of Veep. It is very hard to imagine, like, the Academy isn't just, like, leaning in that direction, you know? But that being said, a lot of great performances. Pamela Adlon, I was just talking about Better Things, like, mm-hmm. kind of a dark horse there, but with season 2 coming out, too, and people might be thinking about her.
It's also a very industry related story.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So right. Because she's
they love self-referential stories.
They
like
do. Well, and she plays a single mother, which I think is something you don't often see, you know, too. Mm-hmm. So to have that is great. Speaking of single mothers, Alice and Janney as mom. That's another, not to underestimate the broadcast sitcom performance on what that is like. And Alice and Janney is just she's the best. She's a master at what she
does. She's great at everything she does.
She's amazing. And yeah. I mean, I think the Academy likes her. So we know that, too. So it would be interesting. And then, you know, Tracee Ellis Ross. I mean, honestly, I when I watch the show, I would choose her performance over Anthony Anderson's just because I think she's doing something a little bit different. But she's great. She's fantastic. And it would be so great to see her nominated for that, too. I mean, see her winning for that, too.
You know, I think maybe as a dark horse in all its categories, I would say Black-ish may surprise everybody just because of championing a broadcast series, but also the fact that it is finally at that moment of sort of cultural recognition, I think.
Where enough people have it's hit the saturation point, right?
Right. You're finally watching it syndicated if you haven't seen it on broadcast.
Right. And it's, you know, it's the first Black family sitcom in years. Mm-hmm. You know, and the fact that it took on topics that no other show really, like the fact that it took on police brutality in a sitcom, you know, like that's really daring, cool stuff. And it's always cool when a show on broadcast does something like that.
So let's briefly touch on supporting actor and actress in a comedy series.
Okay, I can tell you who they're going
to
be.
I know. I was about to say, I have a feeling that you and I both know exactly who they're going to be, probably from the same broadcast.
Yes, yeah.
It's inevitable, right?
It's going to be Alec Baldwin and Kate McKinnon for Saturday Night Live. Just, again, I mean, they're playing Trump and Hillary. It's a very charged time. Everyone is watching these things. Also, just the fact that SNL got so many people, including the president, excited or / annoyed or interested in their show. I think the Academy responds to that.
And Melissa McCarthy just won the Emmy last week.
Exactly, right. These have become cultural touchstones, and I think that the Academy is aware of that. I do have, I mean, I guess for supporting actor, I would go with Alec Baldwin, too, because that is such a great impression. With actress, you know, shout out to Judith Light and Catherine Hahn in Transparent, who are two of the best parts of that show. And, you know, like Leslie Jones is so good on Saturday Night Live, and she hasn't had the chance to play a politician that looks like her yet, but I hope she does soon.
Right, soon. Tony Hale is another one that you've got to talk about category.
And Anna Chlumsky in Veep is hilarious.
Yeah, and so much of the comedy has to revolve around her character because she's surrounded by insanity all the time.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of roles that you hope will get recognition but often don't, I think.
It's hard to, right, because you're kind of playing you don't get the punchlines are bouncing off of you, so it's a little bit harder. But at the same time, the industry recognizes that, I think. You know, they're there all the time. They see what work that takes, so who knows?
So much to talk about and cover. Thank you for going through the two of the biggest categories
of course.
Us. Anything else you're looking forward to or any surprises you think might happen?
Okay, so there are a couple of categories I think are really interesting. The first one is outstanding, best actress in a limited series.
Mm-hmm.
There are six nominees. Four of them are best actress winners at the Oscars, which I think is just incredible. And four of them are also pairing, they're two of them from two shows, right?
Right.
So we have Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon for Big Little Lies, and Jessica Lange and Susan Sarandon for Feud on FX. It's amazing. We were talking a little bit before about film opportunities, actors moving into television because of fewer film opportunities. Mm-hmm. And this is a perfect example. I mean, Nicole Kidman, this is her first TV show. And just the fact that you have these like titanic performances, honestly, it's so hard to choose a winner because they're all so good. It's hard to imagine it won't be Nicole Kidman, to be honest with you. Mm. Although I will say, like, Reese Witherspoon also does a really good job in Big Little Lies. But that's just an interesting category. It's just a lot of leading lights. Another interesting category, I think, variety talk series. One of the things that's interesting about this, so this is like your talk shows, your late night talk shows, right? All of the three major broadcast networks, Stephen Colbert, The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, is nominated. Jimmy Kimmel Live on ABC is nominated. Jimmy Fallon is not nominated for The Tonight Show. And I just think that's another like really interesting taking the temperature of America right now.
Have we shifted to a more serious take on our political world?
Right, right. And I think that this has been an ongoing thread that is still unraveling, you know, like how what we want out of our late night shows and what we expect out of them. But I just thought that was very interesting.
It is. You can add to that that Stephen Colbert's show was not nominated last year.
Right. And he's markedly gotten more political,
flipped the script on those two shows and their trajectory.
It's very interesting. I mean, and Samantha Bee and John Oliver are the other nominees in this category, and they are both very popular because of how opinionated they are. So it's always interesting to see that. Lastly, really fast, mm-hmm. reality competition for the first time, RuPaul's Drag Race is nominated. And I just want to say that that is incredible and we should all be really happy about it.
All right.
That's great.
Everybody be happy about that. Congratulations, as they say on that show.
Thank you.
Well, great. It's so good to talk to you, Sonia. We'll be looking out for your writing about all the television to come this year and your take once these awards are announced. I'm sure you and I will have some wins and some losses in our pools.
Always plenty to talk about.
Always plenty to talk about. Thank you. TV critic for Variety, Sonia Saraya. And this is Jamie Wax with the CBS This Morning podcast, talking about this Sunday's 69th Primetime Emmy Awards, hosted by Late Show's Stephen Colbert. And that's at 8 p.m. right here on CBS. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. You can watch the full CBS This Morning broadcast Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on your local CBS station.
Or you can stream it live on the CBS All Access app.
For more information, please visit cbsthismorning.com.